Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's Bud Pod 218.
218. Ooh, great spleen.
Are we on the spleen? We're on the spleens again.
I'm complimenting your spleen. We were talking about the spleen last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
It secretes fluids. That's what we discovered.
Yeah. 218. Did you have an 18th birthday party?
Yes, although I sadly cannot remember it.
Oh, good.
although that has reminded me of my 16th birthday, which must be the saddest birthday of all time. I was in Malaysia, in Kota Kinabalu, and my birthday was, my dad took me and my friend Brian out for dinner, and at an Italian restaurant.
Nice.
And at the restaurant, my dad handed me, as a gift, a model Batmobile that I asked him to buy me.
Just go for dinner with Dad and Brian. I hope he has that Batmobile I asked for.
Sweet 16.
Do you still have it?
It's funny because also at the time where the MTV show Super Sweet 16 was on. Did you ever see that show?
Yeah.
Super Sweet 16.
Oh, awful.
It just followed like brats who were turning 16. And all these... Because it was in America, they had an almost endless supply of fantastically rich families you'd never hear of. So like,
yeah,
you'd be the toilet seat king of Idaho.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His daughter was turning 16. And...
You'd be like the daughter of the guy who sells all the Halloween pumpkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he only operates in a state, but because America's so big, he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
and then she'd scream because like the wrong color of Lamborghini picked her up or something.
Yeah, the problems were always full. It was basically Veruca Salt over and over again.
It was. And then I contrasted that with my 16th birthday of being given, I mean, still a car, but a miniature fictional car.
Yeah, a car that's not
by
just
my father.
Not just small, but fictional. Over a big plate of spaghetti.
Technically speaking, it was the Tumbler from the Christopher Nolan Batmans, which was a real car they made.
Okay, that's true.
I mean, they're all real. All the Batmobiles in the movies are real.
Do you still have it?
Yes, I do. Am I even looking at it now? I think it might even be in this house, you know.
The Batmobile's coming from inside the house.
that's how I mark my 16th. My 18th, I do not remember, which probably means it was a good one, Pierre. Or it means I didn't do anything fun.
As a slightly distracted question, I've just had a thought. Okay, so in Malaysia / the Far East, but Malaysia, I guess, specifically.
Mm.
Have I asked this before? Spaghetti, is that seen as just like weird noodles? Like, in Italy, they put this fucking tomato stuff all over their noodles.
No, it's seen as a complete separate entity. It's seen as Italian food. It's seen as fancy.
Really?
Yeah, you get it at hotels or like western-y restaurants or resorts or like beach clubs or, you know,
But so no one ever comments on like the relationship between the sort of Marco Polo, you know?
No.
Huh.
I mean, maybe among my family when I was a kid, we talked about it, but we were probably more interested than most in the interactions between East and West.
Yes.
I think my father once like looked at spaghetti and was like, oh, this is very high quality. Very high quality. But I think that might have just been like, Ah, yeah, the West makes stuff to a high standard.
Oh, like it's all very uniform, this.
Yeah, yeah. Because we do sometimes have like fried spaghetti in the Asian way, and it's kind of funky, it's kind of good, but it still it doesn't work as well as Asian noodles.
Ah, that's so interesting.
It's not right.
It's too wheaty.
Yeah.
I wonder if, has there been, so normally, right, the first harvest of fruit from the tree of reality television was in the noughties.
That's a good analogy.
The big harvest, and we had all the fruits of reality TV, all the depressing little oranges and apples from Big Brother and Wife Swap and My Sweet 16 and blah, blah, blah.
Wife Swap, that was a great show. That's fucking mental.
Yeah, they always just go like, oh, vegetarian thatched cottage to some sort of horrible meat flat. let's do that.
And the revelation of every episode was, people really don't like living in a home that is completely contrary to all of their principles and values.
People hate opposites.
And they're not very keen on raising other people's children, it turns out.
Yeah, they've gone, it's worse than a kidnapping, because it's a kidnapping where you're guaranteed to fucking hate everyone and everything in the house.
I've seen episodes of Wife Swap where they've like taken swings at each other.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. Good show. Yeah, but this was the golden age. Do you remember a show called Faking It?
Oh, that rings a bell. What was that?
It was a really good show. So like someone from one profession would have to try out the quote-unquote opposite end of that profession or an opposite profession. And then at the end, they demonstrate it among some real professionals. And then judges have to decide who's the person faking it. So the classic episode is a classical cellist has become like a nightclub DJ.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty good. That's not too vigorously exploitative. It's probably why I haven't heard of it. but so here's the thing, right? That's the first harvest.
Yeah.
But what maybe we didn't realize was that this tree inherently bears a second round of poisoned fruit, which is the where are they now?
Right, yeah.
As in, like,
are the fruit rotting.
I thought of this because I thought, well, you could do a whole series, episode for episode, total matchup of the where are they now of Sweet 16.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to these fucking Veruca Salts?
Bitter 32. That's what I want to watch.
That's the name of like a German techno group. Really polite one. Bitter 32 is great. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Have they squandered their father's toilet seat and pumpkin money? Or have they made the best of it?
Yeah, they're all either like failed influencers, or they've run the parents' business into the ground.
Or they've started some kind of fucked up interior design shop.
Mm-hmm, or a cult.
Uh-huh. That would be good.
That would be good.
Was Sweet 16 entirely female? Or am I correct in remembering that every now and then there was a sort of frightening Patrick Bateman sort of young man?
In my memory, it was entirely female, but I think it must have been like maybe 90% female or something. I think they did have the odd guy. And I mean odd.
Yeah, surely there must have been a couple. Although I guess Sweet 16 is a very female idea in America. Why is it a thing in America? Because nothing happens to you in America at 16 in legal sense. Like, you can't do it. Nothing changes. You can't
do
anything.
That's a good question. Because here it is at the age of consent.
Yeah.
And when I was boarding in Brunei, someone told me that it's called sweet. It's only a sweet 16 if you haven't had sex yet.
Oh, and then it's a jizzy 16 if you have.
Yeah, isn't it also an illegal 16 if you're not a virgin at 16?
Sure. Wait, yeah. America, I can never keep track of America, because in some states in America, two 14-year-olds can get fucking married.
Oh, right.
They just need the parents to, like, and a vicar to agree to it or something insane. So I can never really tell. The one thing that's definitely true in the States is the 21 drinking, right?
Well, just to pick you up on the vicar, this is something I learned in America when I first went out to do sets. They don't have vicars.
No.
I did a joke about a vicar, which sounds like a made-up joke a British comedian would tell in America.
Yeah. So I was talking to the vicar the other day. Boo!
What?
We don't have that here. What?
And on the audience only went, huh? Why, sir? And I said, vicar. You don't have vicars? And they're like, nah. And I was like, priest, little white patch on the collar. And they go, reverend.
So yeah.
They have reverends.
They've got reverends. They've got preachers. They've got pastors. They've got leeches. They've got, they've got a whole, they've got all different words, but no vicar. I think vicar is a very C of E. Well, no, because I think the Pope is known as the Vicar of Christ. So if they were Catholic, they should have at least have heard of it.
Hmm.
But it is a thing. Peculiar. There's some kind of joke in Friends about one of the characters has a thing for the idea of seducing the vicar from reading some sort of English erotic novel. And I think Joey or one of the silly billies, the male silly billies, says he'll dress as a vicar for sexy times, and he's dressed as like in hockey uniform. And the big joke is that he thinks it's some kind of goalie.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Man, they got up to some scrapes.
Those friends sure were friends in New York.
Yeah, they really were.
What would be the funniest object, Phil, to teleport into an episode of Friends into the background?
Oh, an object?
Yeah. It's exactly the same episode, the same joke, same script, same acting, but there's an object in the background of one of the scenes that you've put there.
Okay, let me think.
Obviously, like a blow-up doll would be quite funny in a very direct way. A TARDIS. Ooh.
A TARDIS. Maybe just like a goat skull.
That's
a satanic like goat skull.
Yeah, and that would freak out all the crazy satanic panic people.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be good. For it to suddenly appear.
Yeah. Or just a huge cross, like a crucifix, but just a huge cross in the back.
Yeah, in the
made of wood.
In the coffee shop.
Huge, like floor to ceiling. Yeah, they never mentioned it.
That would be good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else would be sort of unsettling. Just a watermelon stand.
Like indoors, inside the flat.
Yeah, in one of the flats. What?
A coconut chai.
Yeah. Oh, one of those like barbershop, like hairdresser chairs with a big dome over the top. Huh?
Hmm.
Some people would. That would be a quick way to the cross or the goat skull. That would be a quick way to rock American Christianity to its core.
Yeah, it's amazing the moral panics that can happen in America. I'm reading a long read in the New Yorker about Marvel and the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how it's swallowing Hollywood. It's very interesting because a company that in late 90s they were filing for bankruptcy, Marvel.
What?
And now they're the most profitable entertainment brand in history, I think.
That's got to be true. Like,
yeah,
I was saying to someone the other day, it's like every Marvel character now, there's so many movies, they're like episodes of a show.
Oh, okay, well, get this. So this was the first big hit in this article, and I will get to the point, which is why I brought this up in the first place soon. But how many Marvel movies do you think there are now?
Oh, man. I mean, there seems to be at least like 7 Avengers films, and there's all the Thor spin-offs and all the really dogshit ones that no one cares about, like Winter Soldier.
Yeah. How many do you think total?
Oh, man. I'm going to say 22.
32.
Fuck off. Better 32.
32 full movies.
And they're all like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
They're so long.
Doesn't mean there are more Marvel movies than there are episodes of The British Office.
Yeah, it must do.
By quite a... Yeah, yeah. The Office is just what? Was it two series?
Two series? Six and two Christmas specials. Episodes.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Isn't that insane? It's a really good long read. I'll send it to you. But anyway, but yeah, it reminded me that a big hit to the comics business was in the 60s or 70s. A moral panic started about comic books and that it was comic books that was turning teens violent. And so like a whole act was passed that made comics, well, if not illegal, at least much harder to make and much more like a lot more controls put over what could be in them.
Oh, if they were directed at kids.
Yeah. Yeah. But this was based on nothing, obviously. And then the Satanic Panic, of course, happened in the 90s. Where people thought, and I think it started with the Dungeons and Dragons, actually.
Yeah, it was an 80s, it was Dungeons and Dragons and like metal, but like not even like the frightening metal that you'd get out of Norway or whatever. It was just like guys in sparkly pants with like big permed hair.
Yeah. I mean, in some American states, guys who wear sparkly pants are scarier to them.
Oh, yeah, way scarier. It's important to remember how many of these people believe in demons.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one good thing about this country, I guess, is that we're not quite as vulnerable to the odd moral panic.
I think once you believe in demons, all bets are off. Because how could you ever say about anything, well, that doesn't sound likely? Because you believe that the reason that you're reverent got caught doing crystal meth and fucking a rent boy is because of a demon. You think it's terrifying. A demon made your preacher fuck that guy.
Once you believe in demons, scrutiny is very much out the window.
There's no point in scrutiny because you probably just go, well, why would I go through all the work of scrutiny when at the bottom of this long barrel is just a demon? I already know what did it. It was the devil. So why am I Sherlock Holmesing my way through this whole thing? Yeah. I guess there's a lot of punching in Batman comic books and things, but it's the punching of villains, is it not?
In the first few, Batman kills people originally.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, he killed people hard originally. Like in the first few issues of Detective Comics where he turns up. In he's got a biplane that has a machine gun. He just machine guns some people. And there's one guy he just drops a noose down from his plane and hangs him by the neck.
Jesus Christ. Oh my god.
Yeah, the whole I have one rule Batman is a later development.
I can't believe that modern Batman is more morally balanced than 1960s Batman.
Oh yeah, far less violent.
Wow. So in a way the most frightening Batman is very much the Adam West one. Well, I'll hang you from my plane.
And then he does a little 60s dance doing the fingers of his
own. Under the plane. That's much more frightening than anything the Joker's ever done.
Oh, speaking of, the Flash movie is out, right?
Oh, fuck's sake. Every time I see a movie poster with a superhero on, I want to fall to my knees and say, enough.
It's too much now. But one thing I do that I won't let movies get away with is the posters on like the underground or on a bus will say the greatest superhero movie yet, and then the credit of a quote, the person who wrote it, is in font that's so small you almost cannot read it, and most people don't read it. But I walk up right to the poster and I look, and the one for the Flash is just someone on the tracks.
You went onto the tracks.
Sir! But the one for The Flash, it says, like, the best superhero movie of the year, or this is what a superhero movie is meant to be. It's credited as a Twitter account.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's when you... And surprise, surprise, it's not very good.
I mean, it must be... It must be dog shit for even the pigs to not want to eat this particular acorn. It's got to be a pretty rotten acorn.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Batman and I'm not going to watch it. even though it has Keaton's Batman come back, which is the death knell for movies when the best thing about your new movie is the bit of a very old movie that you've squeezed into it.
Wait. So Michael Keaton pops up in
the... Michael Keaton's Batman returns to the DC Universe in this Flash.
What? So and he's all old?
Yeah. Yep. But all his fighting is done in, you guessed it, shiny CG. So he flips about in CG. So you're basically, the superhero movies now, you're just watching a video game cutscene for 3 hours.
Yeah, you're just watching a computer fight itself.
It's utterly pointless.
What is the next genre that's going to unexpectedly pin down Western culture and shit in its mouth for a decade?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Because superhero movies, it used to be like, oh, whatever. And then there was that, I mean, I know rom-coms still exist, but then in the 90s, I mean, that was the time for rom-coms, wasn't it? Sort of mid-90s on? It felt like every big movie was a rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah, and so this article is interesting. It says that Marvel swallowed every genre. So if you want to go and see people, instead of going out to see a comedy movie, they'll see Thor or Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Mm.
And instead of watching porn, they'll watch The Flash.
Speaking of porn, yes. I just went on a quick trip to Paris, Pierre.
Ah, the home of porn.
The home of porn, where I went to a couple of art galleries where there are lots of naked ladies, hence the link. I was a lovely trip. I met a friend out in Paris just for a couple of days. We went to art galleries. I was hungry for art, Pierre.
Yes.
I needed to look at art. This is a recent development in me, is that from time to time, I need to look at some art, some good art. And at the Pompidou, which is a very fun name of gallery to say, I discovered the Fauvists.
Oh, yeah.
Who were... I mean, the most famous one is... how have I forgotten? Kandinsky?
Yeah.
And... he's not even the famous one. How have I forgotten this already?
I'm going to find the famous one.
But they're called the Fauvists because after the salon, the art salon of 1905...
Yeah.
They come in with this new style, this sort of impressionist style with... broad brush strokes and slightly abstract, and they were called beasts, which I think is fauve or whatever
Matisse.
In French. Yeah.
Was that the guy you're thinking of, Matisse?
Matisse, yes, of course. Yes, he's a famous one, yeah, Matisse. And we looked at a bunch of the fauvists and we looked at the impressionists, and I love the impressionists bit. I just love it.
Oh,
I
really?
Love them colors. I love the big colors. I love the blurriness. I love... Oh, man, it's so great.
I'm very taken with your takenness with art.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, this is just like you weren't. I don't remember you being any kind of big art guy at uni.
No. I only really got into it sort of in my 20s.
What was there a particular piece of art that you had a sort of a Damascene conversion, you were struck
this time around?
Oh no, what got you on this road?
Oh, I don't, there was a painting in the Musée d'Orsay which I went back to this time, which I saw last time, which I absolutely adored, called The Excommunication of Robert the Pious.
Oh.
By Lorenz, and yeah. I don't think it's particularly famous, but it shows the scene after Robert the Pious of France is excommunicated from the church for incest. Because I think he's married his cousin or something.
Oh.
But what's unique about the painting is that it shows the moment after. So there's a lot of negative space in the middle, and it's just him sort of, his eyes are like wide and he's in shock and he's dealing with the revelation that he's been excommunicated. The original cancellation. And just in the corner, you see the bishops leaving after they've told him that.
Oh,
so you
fuck.
See the moment after it happened.
I'm just looking at it. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks properly like, oh no. as you would.
Yeah, and then his lover, who's related to him, is leaning on his shoulder like, it's okay. But then she's obviously a bit guilty because of them.
She literally
France
sucked,
is no longer
she literally the sucked the soul out of his body.
But it's a great, I really love the painting. And since then, well, I have a friend who works at a gallery who's really into Impressionism. So she's like held my hand through a lot of Impressionism. And I've gone back, I went back to Musée d'Orsay this time around. I went and looked for this painting, Robert the Pious, and I loved it again. But it didn't strike me like it did last time. Whereas this time, the painting that struck me was a Kandinsky piece about of two knights fighting. But it's so impressionistic that you have to really look hard to...
Oh, I see.
Let me see if I can actually find...
The Knight Errant. Oh, there's a bunch of stuff about knights. This guy liked knights.
The guy liked knights. But like the broad brushstrokes and the bright colors. I think because I'm entering a more colorful period of my life, Pierre.
Oh.
I like colors now. I used to just wear black. Like all fat boys, I wore a lot of black.
Like all fat boys.
Yeah, I was told early on that black was... what is it?
Slimming.
Flattering. Yeah, slimming.
And you logged that away in your little noggin.
In my little coconut.
Would you ever start to do some doodling, some drawing, some noodling?
I'm so bad.
You gotta
practice.
Although
with Impressionist like, stuff, I'm like, oh gosh, maybe I could do like this.
Or if I could do that in a good way. is it like, yeah, but it's like learning, it's like saying you're bad at the guitar when you've only just picked it up. It's the same thing, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very taken with this. I feel like it makes me. Here's a thing. We haven't got too long before correspondence, but I don't feel like I do enough stuff. I've been quite busy lately, so maybe that's why. But this kind of thing you're saying, that's some stuff. That's
you do loads of stuff, as in like make something physical.
Oh, even just like going and looking at seeking out a painting sounds very nourishing to me.
Oh, it was, and because I just went on the Musée d'Orsay's website, you can like search for a painting, and it'll show you on the map where it is. So then I just went and found it. It was nice to catch up with a piece of art, you know.
I do, but I haven't. Oh, it's been too long. I should make time for these things. They sound good for you. They sound healthy.
Oh, it was very nourishing.
Oh man, maybe we should just become very pretentious.
I'd love to become pretentious, Pierre. I sort of see myself when I'm older as being like wearing a turtleneck and being a patron of the arts, and I'm really rude, but people have to be nice to me.
Yeah.
Because I sponsor something. Oh, this is okay. I'm gonna send you the. Okay, this is a picture. It's I think marvelous.
Oh.
I'd love to be a sort of stuffy patron of the arts with little round glasses. Yeah.
Do you think we could pitch Bud Pod as being like, because like the Chapman brothers, like the YBAs, they did all sorts of like art where they got a bunch of Nazi army men and covered them in penises and stuff, you know, like all shocking or whatever. Do you think that we could present Bud Pod as like sort of performance art or like found art, you know, and like if we could just rejig the way they see this podcast, that would be our way in. And then we could get our turtlenecks, and then we'd be one of them.
Yes. This has been a however many years long piece of performance art, this podcast.
Yeah, like
I've just sent you the link.
Grand experiment. Oh, I'm looking at the thing you sent me. Oh, that is great, isn't it? It is just so abstract.
It's very abstract. It's really hard to figure out where the knights are even meant to be. Although I can't. Okay, so the title of the painting, Improvisation number 14. That's the other thing that's kind of dickish about these artists. Like, you see the most amazing painting you've ever seen is like sketch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
piece of shit.
Lady
number
holding
nine.
Hat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Improvisation number 9.
Yeah, just this thing I fucking did 14. That's what Bud Pod is. This is just this piece is Bud Pod 218.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, see?
And this will be up in a gallery someday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Horrible audio gallery full of poo and wee. People listening. Loads of really bored kids saying, is this supposed to be shocking?
But it was really lovely. So you go to these galleries and the kids are actually really into it. They're like really excited about all the art.
I guess
the Musée d'Orsay is beautiful. I think it's my favorite art gallery in the world. It's a converted train station, the layout is amazing. Have you been?
I don't know. I've been to Paris quite a few times, but you know that when you do one of those days where you go to all the places and it just becomes this like thirsty blur of galleries, you overfill your day. I've been I've certainly been to the Louvre. I don't know if I've been to the Musée d'Orsay.
Oh, the Dorsay is the thinking man's Louvre. This is what I say.
Sacre bleu.
It's the thinking man's Louvre.
Oh my God. This is the good stuff.
Speaking of the good stuff.
You need a round of glasses.
I do. Speaking of the good stuff, we have to now enjoy your art, Podbuds, in the form of correspondence.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence. It's the original found art, l'art trouvé, except we have trouvéd it in our inbox.
Is that an actual genre of art, found art?
Found art, yes, absolutely. Objects that you find that you then sort of turn into kind of sculptures or don't even touch at all, really.
And what's the term for it?
Oh, found art. I'm not sure if it is l'art trouvé, but it would, I guess it would, I don't know if that's actually a good translation. I don't know. let me see. Where are we? Oh, yes, that's what we did last time. I think... Oh, no. Okay, we've got some tat in from Richard.
Richard. Couldn't be Kitcher, then Richard. You couldn't be Kitcher, then tat, I guess.
Yeah. Richard says, greetings, Jobbymeisters.
Jobbymeisters.
Yeah.
It's Richard Scottish, because that's Scottish for poo, right,
Jobby? It is a jobby. Maybe he must be. I just encountered this appalling sperm tat.
As in tat for sperm? Really small?
Yeah.
That's like the line from fucking, what's Blue Steel?
What is this, tat for sperm?
Yeah, really small tat. What is this, tat for sperm?
Zoolander, yeah.
Zoolander, yeah.
Yeah, tat for sperm. Live, spurt, die.
Nice.
That would be what it says.
Yeah.
Don't even talk to me until I've had my ovum. or like a big long list of like humorous like ball rules.
Yeah. Yeah. I drink. Wait. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, semen o'clock, floor. Because all they drink is semen. Semen is like the food of sperm. Do you know that?
What?
The, like the fluid of semen is to give is like is where the sperm get their like food. It's like their energy.
Oh, that's why they're so wriggly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
I wonder if it would make. I wonder if it makes people wriggly. I'm sure there's some educational videos online.
Some harrowing 70s educational video.
I just encountered this appalling sperm tat and had to share. What better way for kids to celebrate Mother's Day than by... Well, let's see if you can... Surely you can't whisper this. Okay, so...
My sperm can, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So it's a... It's
maybe
a,
just ask the guys.
It's a... Yeah. Just put the microphone into your crotch and we'll see. Like, this tiny voice goes, is it? Just this really little voice. Or no, it'd be a horrible, like a crowd of people arguing.
Yeah, a screaming crowd.
At best, it would sound like a stadium. Is it this? Like just all.
You reckon? Do you reckon sperm? I reckon sperm are like good friends with each other because they're all like going for the same goal. And really, as long as someone gets to it, is mission accomplished. Or do you think they're competitive with each other?
That's a very noble outlook you have on the old sperm.
Yeah, I've always maybe lionized sperm too much.
I've always said that about you, and I'm just glad you've said it now, so I can stop saying it behind your back. The thing about Phil is that he lionizes sperm too much. Everyone else at the party nodding. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, in my head, they're all sort of like limbering up like Olympic 100 meters runners.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're all just like wriggly, confused idiots, just flying like balloons when you let go of the mouth of the balloon.
Yeah, I imagine they're like zombies when a zombie like hears a noise. Yeah, and scrambling.
The noise is inevitably a car alarm set off by the hero's dog or similar.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's see if you can whisper this. So it's a coffee mug.
Okay.
Okay.
Full of sperm.
Yeah. It's don't even talk to me until I've had my sperm. That's like a porn star's coffee mug. So there's two cartoon sperm on the mug, and you can choose a cartoon sperm, and you can put your name under it.
Oh, so it's a customizable mug.
Yeah, so it's for Mother's Day.
No.
Yeah, that's what he said, for Mother's Day.
So there's two sperm on this mug.
Yeah, there's two sperm on this mug.
Are they anthropomorphized? Are they like human-like?
They're more like anime... kind of
tadpole
fun, cute sort of thing.
Yep.
One in this sample, one's called Kira, one's called Iris. Okay. The Kira sperm has got like a big happy anime mouth. The Iris one has got a small closed happy anime mouth, but is holding a love heart in its non-existent hands.
Okay.
And the bottom of the mug, I will say, just says, "We love mom." Right?
This is, I can't imagine, already I'm amazed and shocked.
This is a Freudian nightmare.
God damn.
Okay. Above the sperm, the sperm in the middle of the mug, the bottom says, "We love mom." Above the sperm, it says, "Thanks for blank, blank, blank."
Wow. Thanks for accepting dad's spunk.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely in the right wheelhouse there, upsettingly.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks for letting dad come.
Letting.
This is horrible. I hate this.
Letting is funny. That's for when you know your dad is like a gimp.
Oh. Thanks for letting us in.
I mean, that would be nicer than what it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's grim.
So one sperm is offering a heart to the other sperm.
No, the sperm is offering the heart to the viewer. That's not
right. To the viewer.
Sorry,
okay.
Yeah. Phil, you've just been to an art gallery. You know all about the viewer's eye, and there's no fourth wall in this sperm mug.
So these sperm are breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. It's very meta. Okay.
Thanks for... Oh, thanks for being off pill.
I'll give you a clue. It's the first word of the three you're guessing is, it's thanks for not.
Oh.
Blank, blank.
Oh my God. Thanks for not. No. It can't be. Thanks for not aborting us?
No, it's less medical than that.
Oh, Jesus. What?
It's more sexual, well, kind of sexual, and less medical than that. I really thought I saw the terrible realization in your eye there.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you finish this.
Swallowing us.
I thought it might be swallowing.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know. And the advert says for up to 6 kids, so you can fit 6 cartoon sperm on the mug.
Oh my God.
How fucked
is
that?
The world is a dark place.
What kind of relationship do you have with your fucking mother where you look at that and you go, this is what I need? This is what the old gal will chortle at over her chocolates.
Ugh. And again and again, the thing about a mug is you use it again and again. You see it all the time.
What would you're gonna? That's gonna get handed to a builder at some point.
Well, this goes back to our conversation around a couple of weeks ago. Is there are mugs that you use to give builders tea and mugs you do not? I would put this mug firmly in the second category.
I would hide this mug in the chimney. Oh, fuck, no. So Richard says, what better way for up to 6 kids to celebrate Mother's Day than by conjuring the image of Dad blowing his load into Mum's face? Koji, Richard.
Horrible.
Really gross.
Horrible. No, this is this is the most sort of prudish I feel. I don't like families who are like open about sex with each other all the time or like joke about sex.
Yeah,
and it's something that I did not encounter until the UK, because obviously Asians do not do this.
No,
but occasionally in the UK, I'd encounter a sort of fun family, and they're like, "Oh ho ho!" I remember having my girlfriend during high school, and like we had her house to ourselves one day, and before they left, apparently the mum said to her, well, you'll be shagging all over the house.
Oh, no.
And I just thought, oh, no. They're supposed to think we're not doing anything.
Also, like...
I need to believe that they think we're here just, like, making carts and crafts and then going to sleep in separate bedrooms.
Also, you're like, ugh, and then you're also like, you've just guaranteed that won't happen, you old bitch.
Maybe that's the game she's playing.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to fuck in my house. Well, goodbye. Clever old mum. Yeah, it is. Gross,
I didn't
though.
Like it. They were cool. Ugh. They were a really nice family, but I thought that was too much.
I think that was a grosser thing for me in what's it called? Trainspotting.
What happens then?
So there's a character who fucks the schoolgirl. Well, she's like a teenager, and he shits the bed all over the place.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he comes out of the bedroom, and the parents are there having breakfast.
Yeah, and I was less disgusted by the shit flying all over the place than I was by the idea that the parents were like, well, here's that junkie our daughter's been fucking riding through the paper-thin wall next door.
Yeah, ghastly.
What was that about? Why wasn't he getting chased out of that breakfast room with a fork by... I get, is it good? I don't know. I found it very confusing, though, because South African parents are, if not at an East Asian parent level of not into that sort of behavior, then certainly close.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly not to be discussed.
Absolutely not.
So we got a little message from William.
William... Let's get silly.
I like this. Will says, dear land and sea. I like that.
Which you think? I like that a lot. Which you think is which?
I'm not sure.
I drink a lot of water.
And
you are bigger.
I'm bigger and crumblier like land. And you drink a lot of water.
Firmer.
Yeah, maybe. You drink a lot of water, and also you know Kung Fu, so you're able to be like water.
Yeah, I think we've got to the bottom of this. I'm sea or land, yeah. Also, I have many unplumbed depths.
Yeah, and wet pants.
Oh, speaking of, I looked up the bloop.
Yeah, did
you
like
told me
it?
To look up a few weeks ago, because I said how much I love the idea of an enormous, mysterious creature in the sea. I love the little I love the heebie-jeebies it gives me. I like the bloop, that there's a mysterious, loud noise that was recorded in 1997 underwater.
Yeah, it's fucked,
and people
isn't it?
Don't know what it's from. Love it.
I thought you'd like the bloop. Dear land and sea, so you remember I was trying to figure out how to recycle my frying pan.
The impossible task.
Yeah, well, he said he's basically given me some incredibly specific advice on how to do that, which thank you very much, Will. I will take you up on that.
Oh, great.
And he says, anyway, as is traditional, I also offer up a fecal-based anecdote for your delectation.
Delicious.
Yeah, yum, yum. You may be aware of the strange physiological oddity where upon arriving home, despite feeling fine beforehand, you suddenly need the loo.
Yes.
Yeah.
People often say once they see their front door, they suddenly need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. Like a greyhound seeing that rabbit thing fire out of the trap.
Yeah, it just clicks into something primeval.
Yeah, I'm at the poo place now. No doubt many of your listeners will have experienced having shut the door only to have to then run clenching to the loo, crying, no, 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 no.
Well, our listenership probably, yes, 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 yes.
Yes, yes. Then this next sentence is, this is one sentence that begins the next paragraph, made me laugh. I had a friend. They had a keen interest in anal sex. Okay.
Okay. Good for them.
And were vigorous and active in pursuit of this pastime.
Wow.
That is a charmingly neutral way to phrase that, William. Good for you. A keen
they
interest.
Pursued it.
Yeah. Vigorous and active in pursuit.
Looking up newspapers. What's not the confidentials. What's it called? The personal ads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Circling with marker pens. Potential.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping an ear glued to the radio. One of the side effects of this was to weaken certain muscles in that area.
Yes.
Yep. So much so that the time passing between them needing the loo and then going was practically zero.
Oh, of course.
So that is a keen interest and frequency.
Yes, the cap of the ketchup bottle, as it were, had been loosened.
Yes, and they're not clearly not giving it adequate time to
seal.
Yeah. This combined with the previous issue meant that nearly every time they turned into their driveway, they shat themselves.
I really like the image of someone turning into the driveway after a big old anal sex session, like in their red Prius.
Yeah.
back home. Click, 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 click. Back from another great day of anal sex.
Yeah.
Just shoving it right in there. Oh, that 9 to 5.
And then key in the door. Oh. Honey, I'm home. I can smell, I know. I understand from passing this story on many, many times that occasionally women who have just given birth suffer from the same issue. My friend was able to resolve the problem by a course of core and Kegel muscle exercises. Hopefully this information will offer some hope to those of your listeners who are similarly afflicted. Koji, but spelt with a C, William.
Koji. Continue on jacking it with a C.
I suppose so.
Have we hit that point with Koji that the original meaning has been lost and all people have is the word and the spelling starting to change?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And people will sort of say, oh, it's lost. The meaning is lost to time, but it's just a general exhortation to continue in your vigorous lifestyle.
Wow, what a significant inflection point in the etymology of Koji today.
Yes, and for the people sending us we get sent an absolute torrent of Koji spottings from, there's a character in something called Koji, there's an ingredient called Koji, there's some sort of restaurant called Koji, it's everywhere.
Oh, we're everywhere. Bud Pod's going global.
That's right.
But that is all the time we have for this episode. I will just say that my last week of my tour, this leg of the tour, is coming up this week.
Nice.
So I won't be on the road again for months. And this week I'm in Swindon. I'm in Crewe. I'm in Aberystwyth in Wales.
Whoa.
And I'm in Liverpool for the big final finale. So if you're in any of those places, do come.
Yeah, you better. And I'm happy to say that, it'll be at time of release. It'll be tomorrow, Thursday, in Leicester Square, the big old show. It's sold out. There's a few comps that could be released at the last minute, but we did it. They said it couldn't be done. And by they, I mean my own brain. But we have sold out. Excuse me.
Sold up, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Other than that, come see me at the Fringe. Come see me on tour. It's all on Instagram. Find me on Instagram, I guess.
And patrons, we'll see you on Friday. Yeah. But Koji for now.
Koji.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.